Here's the thing, Kev. I don't even know how to begin this.
No, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Did last year's Christmas opener have a Donald Trump flavour to it?
Do you know, I can't remember, but I could download it and have a listen, but I can't be arsed.
Yeah, me neither. We have been off the poddar, for a little while. There's been a good reason for it, by the way, and we thought, what a better way to come back and announce our kind of, you know, a little bit like Scritti Politti or some such shambles, returning to the fold. Then why not do it at Christmas?
I don't see why not. Are you a fan of Scritti Politti, by the way?
I can proudly tell you I can't name a Scritti Politti. Yet maybe I can.
They did that one about Aretha Franklin, didn't they? You know the one I mean. It wasn't very Christmassy. I don't know why we're talking about it.
Cameo. No, Cameo was Word Up,
that,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Big Red Cod piece.
Yeah. That was clearly the same era, though, wasn't it? Slightly earlier.
I think Cameo might have been a bit later. Actually.
When did Scritz turn up on the scene?
When did what?
Scritz.
Pardon you. the Scritz. Green Gartside, his name was, wasn't it? Was it Green Gartside? Was he in Scritti Politti?
Green Darkside.
Gartside.
Stephen King character.
He was either in Scritti Politti or Prefab Sprout. No, Prefab Sprout had a guy called Hamish. I'm pretty sure about that. And the other
Prefab
one...
Prefab Sprout weren't a bad band.
Oh, well, that's right.
They're all right.
Name two of their tracks.
Cars and Girls.
Yep.
And Prefab Sprout. Oh, no, that's the name of the band,
yep,
isn't
yep,
it?
Yep, yep.
Cars and Girls and... Cars and Girls and... there's a really big track.
Yeah.
They,
Biggest.
Biggest. Yep. Cars and Girls.
Yep.
And...
King of Rock and Roll.
King of Rock and Roll.
There you go. See? Welcome to the 80s Hour. I'm Neil Fox.
Not very... And I'm Dave Lee Travis. So, have we got a Christmas jingle or something? Is it...
Well, I thought we'd play something a bit festive.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you'll be disappointed by.
Yeah.
Being the king of eternal disappointment. And then we'll get on with it, shall we? Because it is Christmas, after all.
It is Christmas. And we're actually recording this live on Christmas Day.
I
even
know.
Though you're listening to it before Christmas Day.
Technology's marvellous. Ian Collins wants a
word. And it's nice to be back. I was about to say it's nice to be back in the old studio, but we're not in the old studio. We're in a new studio, because since we've been away, the production company have built a new Once a Word turret to the to the Empire, which we have been given exclusive use of, which is rather nice.
I like the flag.
It's nice, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
There's a skeleton hanging in a cage over there.
That is a bit unusual.
I just say, hang on, there's a label on it, Kev. Let's have a look. Fuck me, it's Janet Gershley.
You're looking well, Janet.
You know, that's the best you've ever sounded.
Nonetheless, there is a flag with your face on it, which is
I
only
like it,
it's only up when you're in, apparently.
It was, well, following on for the kind of Trump Towers thing, then, you know, why not have our own kind of castle, emporium thing?
Collins Castle.
Yeah.
Castle.
Castle.
Bath. Grass.
Bath. Where are we going? So what are we going to do? We're going to do some feedback first.
We've got some... great stuff coming up.
Oh, yes, we should say what's coming up. That's what you're meant to do on a kind of radio show, isn't it?
Have you forgotten? So, has it been a while?
Coming up later, we've got the fabulous Glasgow's Own is back with us for the annual event. It would be like, you know, not having the Andy Williams show.
Oh, well done, Grandad. Spot on target reference.
Is he one of yours?
Andy Williams?
Yeah.
No, he's an American dude.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of like an American Val Dunican.
Yeah, he was. He was quite big.
Physically?
I don't know. I don't even know what he... I wouldn't know he jumped out of a taxi right now and jumped on top of
more likely jump out of an Uber.
Yeah, that's probably true. Williams never liked shelling out, apparently.
Nonetheless, I think you were about to say Del Strain's coming up.
Del Strain is back with us with the 12 Dells of Christmas.
Oh.
We're looking forward to that. And also...
Before you get there, it's fair to say, as you pointed out, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Del Strain.
Wouldn't be Christmas.
I mean, it would just be shit.
Yeah.
It really would.
It's interesting that there isn't any longer... I mean, they kept talking about, rather offensively, X Factor's replaced Morecambe and Wise. Well, not really.
No.
X Factor's on for about 28 months of the year and finishes before Christmas. So it doesn't kind of really tick that. And then they sort of had the Fools and Horses thing, which is a little bit of a Christmas vibe. And then now, is there anything?
Doctor Who?
Yeah, well, is that really...
Christmas
would you
Day?
Call that variety?
So, well, Christmas ones are pretty like that. They've got a superhero in it this year, like a Superman-type character. Little Sandy, I love that.
I think I sent you a picture of it, didn't I?
I think you did.
You'd already seen it.
Yeah, well, you're turning to the right side. That's all I'm going to say.
Very excited about the Star Wars stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, indeed, yeah, yeah.
You know that Cushing has a cameo in it?
Well, that's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler.
It's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler because it's been written about.
Not anywhere I've seen, because I stay off spoiler sites on the internet.
Not just him. Shatner's back.
Oh, God.
Apparently it's a pretty good...
it's meant to be very good.
Pretty good affair.
Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to that.
By the time this comes out, I'll have seen it.
When are you going? Last week?
Last week, yeah. I'm going to go and see it last week.
Are you?
I was very much looking forward to it.
It'll be great, especially the bit when Cushing pitches up.
So that's it then. It's a great Christmas show. We got some feedback. We're
Hang on.
And Delstrain. It's a good one.
No, but you know who else is coming in?
That's it.
I've got... I mean, I'm watching his journey in the Uber on on the maps, and Will Guyot is coming in. Yeah, it's a... Will Guyot.
Okay, can
Will
I just...
Guyot?
Right, can I have a quick word?
Yeah.
Before we started this, I said...
Hang on, get off the mic.
No, okay, right. I said...
Yes.
Cancel Guyot. You told me he was gone. Right. Off the booking sheet. I don't see him anywhere on my sheet here.
Oh, I see. No, after we recorded the last Once a Word, and you said, I feel like a bit of a... Quack, quack, oops. I booked Guyot.
Right, okay, well, if he comes in, you talk to him. I'm not going to deal with him. I'm right now. I just don't want to see him.
It's high-end technology when Guyot comes in, so I don't think it's your thing, really.
Oh, I see.
Call me Grandad.
Shut it, Captain Nokia.
Should we do some feedback?
Yes, it's the weekly feature. It's questions and feedback
it's
via social
media. It's the half-yearly feature.
Questions and feedback via social media, many of which have a festive bent, by the way. A festive bent.
Yeah.
From Sad Graham, Falkirk's number one speciality plumber. Graham says, how can we have a great Christmas after this miserable shit of a year? It's a fair point.
Well, you could argue...
It's been colossal crap.
You could argue to invoke the mighty Yaz, the only way is up, really, isn't it? So, you know, after having a year that's been a bit dicey in a number of ways... politically and otherwise, then surely Christmas is the time to let it all go. All is forgiven.
Well, how does that work? You're going to wake up on Christmas Day, you'll put the radio on, and somebody will be dead. So just to, you know, let's keep getting through the celebrities and getting through the people we like and your childhood heroes. Let's knock a few off before the end of the year.
It was a terrible year, wasn't it, this
year? Statistically, it's only going to get worse because all of your heroes are... Are older.
Did more celebrities really die this year, or is it just sort of up there with that? You know, we think that rock geniuses die at 26, and in fact, there's no real evidence that they do. Although quite a lot of them did, apart from David Bowie, who did die this year. So,
yeah, it's the Ian Collins circular argument. You managed to talk yourself out of what you were saying,
As I was saying.
It's tremendous.
But there is that belief that, you know, oh, they all go. You know, Cobain went, Winehouse went, but actually, most rock genii didn't die at 26.
No. No, they're...
It's called the 26 Club or something.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few of them. But I think that's just coincidence.
I think so. There's... Well, yes, it wasn't erased.
But, or was it? Anyone seen Courtney Love recently? Fabulous pop star. Anyway, I think it has been, though, just a pitiful year. I mean, people are just miserable, and the trains don't work, and...
The trains are doing my royal nutting!
Doing your nutting?
Well, you're on that line, aren't you?
Well, you've got a private helicopter. That's,
I know, that helps. That does help matters. So what's been the worst thing, then, of the year? Are you going to say Donald Trump? But I think that's too easy, in a way, because he's untested yet, you know? And it's not as if, you know, he's looks set to be controversial.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll come to Trump a little bit later on in this festive podcast full
I
of
think
joy,
so.
Ho, ho, ho. That hasn't been great, though. Brexit was this year as well. That wasn't particularly great.
Well, it depends where you're sitting on the argument, doesn't it?
Well, yes, but, I mean, made people upset, whichever way you look at it.
Yes, but only arse clowns. I mean, I opted to remain.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So I was in that camp, and I'm not pleased with my reasons for doing it, which were actually based on the fact, very, very simple philosophy, I don't want to fill out a landing card. That was kind of it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't do that kind of lark, and isn't that great? But I have defended to the point that on my, you know, in the other place radio job, I've defended people's rights so much who voted to leave that people assume I'm a leaver. I just loathe the idea that the only way you can caricature a Brexiteer is as if they're some kind of mad, swivel-eyed right-wing racist with a tattoo of Eugene Terre Blanche on their ass. And, of course, that isn't the case. You know, look at Farage, for example.
Yeah, look at Farage.
Here's one. Jose Feliciano writes.
Ah, good.
He says, Feliz Navidad. Well, Feliz, Jose. Here in Spain, we celebrate Christmas a few days later. We used to go bullfighting and drink fine wines. Now, because of political correctness, it's frowned upon to stab a bull to death. What has happened to our great traditions? You ever been?
What, a bullfight? No, but I know you have.
I went and I saw a British man kill a bull.
Did you?
Because El Inglés, who's a guy called Frank someone from Stockport, I kill you not.
Okay.
I kill you not.
Hey,
I kill you not.
Nicely done.
I kid you not. Is yeah, he's a British bit of a name in Spain, and he's a bullfighter. No, the full works. He's not like a guy that just showed up and went, oh, I'll have a go at that.
Well, did you try and jump the fence and, you know, shake your ass in the direction of the mighty beast?
It was a... No, it was... Yeah, it's a bit distressing. I wouldn't go again. It
right.
was all in the name of journalism. But, yes, so sorry, Felice, that your bullfighting days are over. But they still do it. It's still massive. It's not even just an age group thing. You can't tell a Spaniard who likes bullfighting not to go bullfighting. They love that shit.
Isn't the argument always made, though, that it's traditional and it's part of the culture, it's so much part of the culture that it has a right to exist?
It's, yes, it's not about, without getting into the whole thing, it's not about blood and guts and gore and killing a bull.
Right.
It's balletic, it's about dominance, it's all of those kind of things. You know, when you see a bloke, a bull, come chasing at a man at 30 miles an hour and he just looks at it, turns around and slowly walks off, the dominating aspects of that, and the confused bull, and the matador is the kind of female character to the bull's male. Well, at least that's how they sell it. Essentially, you just stab a bull to death.
Yeah, it is that. But in fairness, you know, the whole sort of like walking slowly around, trying to avoid big heavy things coming at you, is a bit like the car park at Sainsbury's. If you ever try driving around there, there's always some asshole who gets in your way and just isn't looking.
Kev!
From Lonnie Donegan. Lonnie writes, where the fuck have you two been?
All right.
Also, can you put the bins out? It's my dad's dead and he was a bit obsessed, to be honest. Well, we sort of covered where we've been. We've been busy.
Yes.
We have been busy. We've said we'd be back and then we went away.
And we're back, all right.
And we're back again. And in January... We'll be back again.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back a lot more.
After that.
And we'll announce that a little bit later.
We will. This comes from Rufus Funk Warbler, who says...
Oh, Rufus.
Last Christmas, my mother showed up at our house pissed. She then proceeded to get even more lashed up before finally passing out into her Christmas dinner. The sight of my old mum with a Yorkshire pudding stuck to her snout will live with me forever. Have you two, perchance, ever experienced a parent ruining the big day because of booze or glue?
Well, I did get an Airfix kit once which didn't come with any glue. So that was a problem.
Did you?
Yeah. It wasn't in there. It was missing.
Were you devastated?
I tried using all manner of things lying around there, like blue tack, sticky tape, gum, whatever was lying around that had any sort of sticky quality to it.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at what the solutions that I attempted to stick my fighter bomber together.
Yes. This is the... What plane is that? Oh, it's the Wrigley's 2784. Lovely jet. Shot down the Hun during the war.
That's it, yeah. Were we ever into planes like that?
Did a bit of larking around with some Airfix. I've got an Airfix model to make this Christmas, but not for me, obviously. For little Sandy.
Ah, uh-huh, right.
It's a Red Arrow.
Interesting.
Yes, in fact, he bought me the Red Arrow for my birthday. And I've got
and
to
what,
make
are you going to make it, give it back to him as Christmas?
Give it
you
back.
Tight bastard!
That's all he's getting. And Spider-Man stuff.
Spider, he's into the spider, is he?
He's into the spider. Well, you might know the answer to this. So it all began with every parent's best friend, YouTube. And
yes.
While larking around and searching around for... Because he gets your phone and goes, you know, show me something, Daddy. Put the TV on, blah, 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 blah. Want to watch it on your phone. And then you... I discovered these really slightly crazy YouTube videos of kind of people just dressed up as Spider-Man and Superman in America...
Right.
Larking around doing silly sketches.
Okay.
Have you seen any of this?
No, but it sounds like stuff that would exist on YouTube.
Yes, so there's one where, like, you know, Spider-Man's making a pizza, and as he turns around, Batman comes in and puts some hot pepper on it. These are just blokes dressed up, and it's pretty... And there's no no speaking, there's just bits of music to it. Every now and again, there's a special effect, deliberately right. cheesy. And I watched one the other day, and then Wonder Woman pitched up in it as well. And then... The entire cast of Paw Patrol were there, and Peppa Pig. So it's just people dressing up, and
it's so bad, it's kind of good. It's clearly meant to be.
Yeah, it's breaking all number of copyrights as well.
Absolutely,
I mean,
yeah.
But there is this thing about. I think it's based on how kids think when they play, which is there are no brands or genres or whatever. Because there's a guy who does like a Thomas the Tank Engine thing, which is literally his train set in his loft. Here's Thomas. Thomas is going through the tunnel. Here comes Peppa Pig and Spider-Man and some Kinder eggs. Let's open a Kinder egg.
So it's all illegal, that, isn't it, really?
I wouldn't go so far as to call it illegal, because it's not like they're doing drugs or taking migrants across the border illegally. It's more that they are just not authorized or licensed.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People are making money by using other people's IP. Yeah. God, I sound like Guyot.
So he got into Spider-Man, and but it's probably a phase because these things happen, and doesn't really know the whole thing. He just goes, it's Spider-Man. So he knows Spider-Man, Batman, and the Hulk, and Captain America. He's familiar with these characters because he's seen them on different TV things.
Is that why he likes Spider-Man? Because he thinks Spider-Man makes pizza for Batman?
No, it's not actually that. That's just where he first saw him. And then, I showed him the cartoons. Then I showed him the Lego movie as well, of course, which has all of that going on in it.
But it's going to be a phase. It's going to be a phase, like, it was Peppa Pig, it was Sooty, and Paw Patrol and Blaze are quite hard to...
Oh, that's a car, isn't it?
Yes.
A little red car.
Quite hard to Blaze and the Monster Machines.
Have you seen this larva thing on Netflix? These two little bugs?
No, you've shown me that.
Yeah, propel themselves around by farting. Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
It's Korean animation. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. Show him a little Sandy that. Yeah.
I will. I'll show him that.
Ruin his life. From Reg the Fish. Reg says, lads, have you seen the KFC Christmas candle? It makes your home smell of delicious fried chicken.
Not only did I see it, but about 100...
You've got one, have you?
No, but about 100 people have sent me the link to it. Apparently it's only available in New Zealand.
Well, Reg also says, surely Collins has a bunch in the cupboard. That's not true. I wonder what Sideshow's candle would be. Deep fried Mars bar or Buckfast, perhaps? F*** you, Reg. Stop playing on Scottish stereotypes. Although a Buckfast candle would actually... It'd be all right, though, wouldn't it?
Be all right. Nothing wrong with it.
You ever had Bucky?
Never.
Ever enjoyed a bit of Bucky?
No, I don't even know what it is. What is it, cake?
It's like a tonic wine.
What's a drink?
It's a tonic wine that drunk people drink on street corners in places like Dundee.
I'm more
into... I get trouble for saying that.
I'm more a Lightning Jacks man, to be honest.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. The kids today, they don't like their sort of, like, strong ciders. Like, they're more of a sort of, it's like blue juice.
A blue juice?
It's not called blue juice. It's called, like, WKD or something.
Yeah.
That's what the children drink.
WD-40.
WD-40.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This comes from Naka McKenzie, who says...
Good old Naka.
When I was a new recruit in the police back in the 70s, we made those tiresome Christmas days of having to work over the Christmas period fly by nipping down to the cells and kicking prisoners in the kidneys. If you managed to do three in an hour, you got to pull a cracker. She was a lovely WPC, went by the name of Wendy.
Hey!
So, Naka, of course, raises another stereotype there. And I think we should just pause for a moment to remember the girls and boys in blue at Christmas, who, frankly, what a task.
Yeah, well...
What a gig out there, picking up piss heads and all manner of unsavoury merchants.
So...
We'll see you in an hour, boys!
Hey, there we go. Now, this person claims this is actually their name and occupation. I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to look at you... if only we had a little visual element like you do on that radio station around the corner.
Mm.
Sadly, though, we don't. So, people, I just want you to imagine Ian's face for a second. And as I say the name of this person who has emailed us, his name and occupation. Okay? Right. Set it up. Here we go. From Bingo Hughes, Flap Sniffer. Bingo writes, this is a bit of a story. Is this festive season?
Okay.
Andre! Have you seen him? I haven't seen him for ages.
I haven't seen him at all.
I'll just shout, see if anything happens. Stick on some festive tunage! Well, it worked.
Nice.
I haven't spoken to him in 6 months.
Is that actually him? I can only see a silhouette in there.
Bingo writes, you probably don't care, but as you're doing a Christmas show, here's how I found out about Santa. When I was eight... Oh, spoiler alert. Kids, switch off now. When I was eight, my mum took me to the local shopping centre for my first trip to Santa's Grotto. The year... was 1978. After a short queue, we entered the grotto to what was an odd smell to my youthful nose, and Santa seemed to be snoozing. Upon being woken up by my mum, he looked annoyed and seemed to slur his words a bit and wasn't quite sure where he was. My mum just said that Santa wasn't very well. This was an understatement, as 3 minutes into my dream meeting with Santa, he proceeded to vomit all over my mum's shopping.
No.
As we left, my mum told me that can't have been the real Santa. I assume that's because Santa isn't usually pissed at 10 o'clock in the morning. The whole game was up, however, on Christmas Day, when I unwrapped my supposed real Santa gifts to find my brand new Kerplunk game had a number of vom stains and stank of half-digested brandy. That's quite a way to find out, really, isn't it?
That is a way to find out, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, through a lash merchant.
But there's probably loads of those.
Must be.
What else would you do if you got to talk to kids you don't even know all day long and pretend to be happy?
Yeah. Plus, Christmas is associated with, you know, terps.
Terps, yes. Nifty on the Bridge says, this is my first Christmas away from my mum and dad. I won't bore you with the catastrophic reasons of how this has happened, but the upshot is that me and the caretaker of our halls and residence will be alone on the big day. Any suggestions of how I can make this dire situation vaguely entertaining? Well, Nifty, I would start off with some gentle before moving on to... Kev.
I'm not interested, but thanks for the offer.
And this comes from Sarah in York, who says, remember me? I was the one who ditched her boyfriend after I caught him wearing Ugg boots. Do you remember that?
What, Ugg boots? Oh, no, yes!
She did,
oh,
yeah.
I remember her.
This year, I have a new fella on the go. As to experienced men of the world, what do you think I should buy him? Because we have a slight age gap, I'm not really across the kind of things he might like. I'm 30 and he's 16.
Oh.
Do you think this is too young for me?
Oh, well.
You got the U-tree number there.
Well, it depends. You know, he could be watching YouTube videos about Spider-Man making pizza for Batman.
That's very true.
At that sort of age.
Well, it's perfectly legal, of course.
Of course it is, yes.
We don't tend to... it's interesting, we don't frown upon that in the same way if it was the other way round.
Don't we?
Not quite the same way. I think because there is that kind of young guy, you know, always going out with an older woman. There's a bit of that going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would be afforded if it was the other way around. I think the other way around it would just look all shades of wrong, where this just looks a bit wrong.
Yeah.
30, 16. What I can't understand is what would she have in common with where are their kind of cultural references? What do they reminisce about, for fuck's sake? Peppa Pig.
Well, it's almost like this show's sponsored by Peppa Pig. So many references to that thing. It's not even very good. Have you seen it? Animation's crap.
Not very good. Made a lot of people very rich, though.
Absolutely did. You see what I did there? Absolutely did. Yeah. Yeah. See? Clever, eh?
Will Guyett is in the building, Kev.
We bring him. Send him through.
No, don't send him through.
Shall I go and get him?
As I say, I don't want to see him. Stick him in another room. He knows what he did. If you want to talk to him, you deal with him. It's going to take you 10, 20 seconds all to right. Get round there. We'll play the intro.
Okay. I'll send him your love, Kev.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. Ass wipe.
Judging from the stir of the crowd, yes, he's arrived. Will.
Now how we do it.
Good evening.
Good evening. He's, I'm sorry we had to sit you in here, but he's refusing to talk to you. Which I think, if I remember rightly, for a different reason, he didn't talk to you last Christmas.
Yeah, I've got a message for Kev.
Go on.
Go f*** yourself.
That's interesting, because I've already given him that message from myself, who else? Mikey Boy Hansen, various other people. Everybody had the same Christmas message for Kev. He can hear this, by the way, so he's... he's pulling a cracker on his own. That's not a euphemism. Christmas gadgetrini, as yes. The Italians would say at this time of year.
Exactly.
You see, I think it's getting difficult, Will, by the way. And why are you wearing that bulletproof vest, by the way?
Ian, I'm hated by most of London's black cab drivers at the moment.
Still,
and it's your bloody fault.
It's not my fault, because you started talking about how you didn't give a shit if people lose their jobs.
And then you told them I was an Uber driver at weekends.
Yeah, well, that was good. that's a statement of fact, isn't it?
Well, I did respond that I was coming to pick you up after your show in my Uber, which I thought was the best response that I could do at that time.
That was the best response. Yes, you did get some hassle, but, I mean, that was about 3 weeks ago now. And you'd think that by now, maybe those that were upset with you to the point that they wanted to not only doubt your parentage, because you had quite a lot of that, but also doubt your existence within the gene pool, which was
exactly.
Rather interesting.
It makes a pleasant change, not just to be getting it from Kev, to be honest.
Well, there is that as well.
you know, Christmas gadgets, right? I am the fourth emergency service at this time of year.
Yeah.
I've got leads coming out of every orifice. I've got chargers. I've got everything available here. I'm like a tech Santa Claus at
you
this time of year.
You are a tech Santa Claus. Do you have a? Do you open up your kind of own little helpline on Christmas Day where everybody that knows you can call in and say, "Me ricochet racers aren't working, Will."
Yeah, me buckaroo's got a flat battery or whatever.
Me kaplunk short of marbles. Yeah. How many? Yeah, I wonder how much of that stuff. Obviously, with having a little boy, I tend to watch a lot of these like Nickelodeon channels and stuff. And of course, they're loaded 24/7 with kids with ads for games and stuff. And like Operation is a regular, as in the board game Operation, is a regular thing that's advertised on those channels. So there's clearly
you know
still
what?
An appetite.
There's two versions of that now. There's the NHS version that takes 6 months, and there's the private one that takes about 2 minutes.
Get in there!
Thank you, good night.
That's what I like. That's why we have Will Guyot on this podcast only at Christmas. But yeah, there are still...
It's the only time you ever do a podcast now.
I was going to say, the only time we're on it is at Christmas. Yeah. But there's clearly an appetite for all the kind of traditional stuff, which I sort of quite like. But I don't think as an adult I'd want to play Operation anymore.
It's just old bandits like you who decide that they want their kids and other people to have board games. The board game market doesn't really exist anymore. They're trying to reinvigorate it. Tell me the last time you whipped out a board game other than Easter or Christmas, Ian.
That's a very good question. The one I always think that I should whip out, and I think like in the day, oh, tonight, wouldn't it be nice to get a couple of beers and we'll play Trivial Pursuit? Because that's always a beauty, isn't it?
Cause always a question about Noel Edmonds in my Trivial Pursuit. Always. There's about 50 questions about Noel.
Well, you see, you know, men are better at Trivial Pursuit, women are better at Scrabble. Do you know this little stat?
Really? Well, I've also got Dave Lee Travis questions in mind as well.
Yeah, I've got some Dave Lee Travis questions as well. Apparently, men know, like, loads of shit. That's the thing.
Yep.
So we know,
it's
like,
true.
Stupid facts and stuff.
Yep.
Whereas women are far more specified and specific with their knowledge. So a game of Scrabble, statistically, apparently will be won by a woman. And statistically, a game of Trivial Pursuit will be won by a bloke. Because
really?
He is able to tell you what the name of that octopus is that lives in the southern hemisphere, 7,000 meters deep into the ground, and only comes out once a year.
I'm not listening to the answers when it comes to Scrabble, and I can't spell very well anyway, even though I'm a journalist. But there you go.
It's always difficult, isn't it? And I never get xylophone on a triple word, which obviously everybody is aching for some of that. But usually it's like two.
One of my best performing words in a game of Scrabble was Viagra.
Really?
Yeah, I don't quite know where I placed it on the board, but it was it's a moment that's often retold amongst my friends because we're all really exciting people.
Good. It's quite a hard word. Yeah. See what
it
I
is
did
very
there.
Hard word. Yeah.
So
stiff competition.
Oh. Yes. So looking at, we're putting board games to one side. Do you remember Mastermind, by the way, that was nothing to do with the TV show Mastermind board game?
Yeah, that really confused me.
I was good at that. I liked it.
Were you?
It confused me because it was nothing to do with the TV
Where's
show.
Where's old Magnus?
I thought it was a packet with Magnus Magnusson in it, but no Magnus, just a weird man with a beard on the front, as I remember. So they tried to kind of sell that sort of dark chair thing, but that bore no resemblance. Buckaroo was rubbish. Kaplunk was really rubbish. Twister should frankly be, anyone who plays that should be in jail.
I tell you one toy though, when we're talking about traditional toys before we move into tech, Lego. I tell you what, Lego is absolutely timeless, and that's one of the biggest sellers. All the Star Wars Lego, Ian, has been the big one this Christmas because of the movie and stuff. And Lego have even moved into the video game world as well, and that's been a huge seller this year.
Well, they've been doing film, haven't they, as well? The Lego movie did really well. And down in Leicester Square, of course, the world's biggest Lego store has just opened.
Absolutely, next to that awful M&M's place, which I don't know why anybody would go in there. You look like a hostage. People look like hostages.
I don't want to buy into conspiracy theories here about big business, but how are you financially able to open a three-story building on the greatest, most expensive piece of prime real estate on the planet, dedicated to a packet of sweets?
I mean, it's like them steakhouses.
Can you imagine getting a Toffo shop? That would be lunacy. That would never happen. How can the M&M people have enough money to open? And I'm sure that's not the only place in the world they've got one.
How about the Trio store? That would be a good one, or the club shop.
I'd go for that.
The Kiora, the Kiora shop.
Yeah, the Texan
only
shop.
For crows.
Look, we're doing retro sweets. We've done retro games. We've moved effortlessly into retro sweets. This is better than the actual podcast. So give us, we've only got a couple of minutes, obviously, Will, but we are grateful that you've come in, even though you've been, you know, seconded into a studio bastard, like a kind of gimp in a cellar, but that's all right. But let's have a look let's have a look at what is happening 21st century style when it comes to Christmas kit and gadgets.
Yeah, there's a couple of really good ones this Christmas. One of the surprise sellers has been the Nintendo Mini Entertainment System. Now, you're a child of the 80s or maybe even the 60s. I'm not quite sure which one you were
too
in.
Too funny.
The Nintendo Entertainment System was the big games machine in the 80s.
Huge.
It's back for Christmas. There's a sort of a shrunk down version of it, so it looks like a quarter of the size of the original one. They've built 30 games into this, all the classics, stuff like Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, all of those. These are selling by the tens of thousands this Christmas, and they're 50 quid. They had sold out, but Nintendo, as is always Nintendo's way, they've managed to whip a final shipment into the UK just a week or so ahead of Christmas, so you'll be able to go out and get one of these as you listen to this.
Good work. As you listen to it.
Yeah, well, you can go online and order it now whilst you're talking.
And order it as you're listening to this. That will be quite something. Okay,
yeah, and so another one. I've got another good one for you for Christmas, Ian, and I know you've had a go with this and it blew your tiny mind at the time. A virtual reality headset. Now, They come in a variety of prices, and the really kind of top-end ones go up to about 900 quid. But you can actually get a headset now for your telephone for as cheap as about £15 to £20. This is one where you put your iPhone or your smartphone in, and you slide it in, and that works as a screen. And then you've obviously got your sort of the lenses that do the thing. And you can get some pretty good software on there. It's not a patch on the 800 quid one at 25 quid, but nothing beats the thrilling of sending your Uncle Nigel into the virtual reality version of France or having to go on Google Street Map. My dad was gutted, Ian. He had go on Google Street Map and he discovered the bins were outside the front of his house the day the Google wagon came round, and my dad was gutted because bin day is once a fortnight where my parents live, and the Google wagon came round the day dad had the bins out.
So he's now feeling like a pariah because he's the house that didn't look tidy in the Google.
Yeah, exactly. At least he wasn't out there in his string vest and pants in the garden, which is another story.
Well, it's interesting because talking about that, when they came round to where my mum used to live, they collared my mum. You know how sometimes it gets half a shot and then another half of the shot? And it joins
up. She looked
like
the Elephant Man.
No, she looked fine, but she was mowing the lawn in her front. This is absolutely true. She was mowing the lawn in the front garden. And the way the picture joins together cuts out the lawnmower but doesn't cut out the handles that she's holding. So it looks as if my mum's in a front garden with a pair of handles in her hand. Mooching aimlessly around the lawn. Why is there a woman with handles? There she is again. The old handle lady.
Another one, another really good Christmas one, and this is the final one I'll give you, because you could probably be driving on Christmas Day. If you're listening to us when you're driving somewhere on Christmas Day, you could stop at any petrol station now and get one of these. It's the USB battery pack. I mention these every year, Ian, and for good reason, because like me, your phone is always running out of battery and you're forever topping it up. So I hold on to one of these USB battery packs to keep my phone charged up. And, you know, it enables me to have more punch-ups on social media with taxi drivers. And you can get one of these for about as little as a fiver these days.
Can you really? So you would just plug what? You just plug your phone into the pack?
Yeah, so you charge it up. It's like a battery. So you plug it into the mains, you charge it up. And then depending on the size and the price, because the more you spend, the more capacity they've got. And you can get sort of 6 or 7 charges out of one plug into the mains by now. So that's super useful if you're out on the road or you're doing whatever. And I keep a small one in the bottom of my bag now, and I can just top up my phone if I ever need to.
Well, you see, I originally did the thing where you go a little bit Premier League in that department, where you buy a kind of Apple case that has an extra charge on it. But of course, the trouble with that,
you look like KGB.
Well, your iPhone begins to resemble a 21-inch screen, so it's pretty heavy to carry, big enough as they are. But so there was that thing as well, so it didn't really work in that respect. Just finally, well, tell us about the new Kenwood Blender 900-76-2.
Yeah, I think that's the one you need this Christmas. It's in a variety of colours, and I know Kev's got the fuchsia one on the way.
Well,
so
his sprouts went wonky last year, so we need something to mush those swines up good and proper.
No, that'll be good.
So that will work. All right, Will, do you mind if I leave you sitting here?
Until next Christmas.
Sure? Well, no, I've got to go, haven't I? Just back to see Sideshow.
Bye,
Ian. All right, cheers, Kev. Bye, Ian. Will, thank you, Will. Sorry, Kev. Kev Chiff and Will Guyot, please, come on!
There you go.
Yeah.
I know you were listening.
Not really. I was listening to Answer Me This. They've got a Christmas special as well. It's pretty decent.
It's all right, wasn't it?
Anyway, yeah.
So, as we said before, the other big thing of the year was Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump. I mean, I'm telling you now that... And it's interesting, because people are saying, well, give the man a chance. And there is this belief that somewhere along the line, the people that are going to be most disappointed won't be the people that hate Donald Trump, but the people who love Donald Trump, because he won't be able to implement all of his wicked, nefarious policies. And, of course,
He's all right.
What do you mean he's all right?
He's all right. It's fine. He's all right.
Well, hang on. He wants to deport people. He wants to build walls. He doesn't like women. He wants to grab their clunges. He mocks the disabled. I mean, where do you want me to start?
He's all right, though, isn't he?
Donald Trump is all right.
Oh, Donald Trump! Oh, I thought you said Grandpa Flump.
Grandpa Flump. Don't even get me started on that. Where do I begin with him? We've got the inappropriate use of a flumpet. We've got the footwear issue going on. Slippers? What the hell's going on there? I'm telling you, the list on that one.
Even though people in Scotland speak English, often they use words that only exist in Scotland.
We promise you the epitome of satirical delights. And he's back for the 38th year of What's a Word, Glasgow's finest. Del Strain is with us. Come on.
Hey.
How are you, Del?
I'm not bad. I won't complain. I'm okay.
We thought we'd invite you in for the 12 Dells of Christmas. And what the unique part of the 12 Dells of Christmas, other than the brilliant play on the word, Del.
That's it. I can't sit here like Donnie McLeod on Pebble Mill pretending that everything's rosy in the garden, ladies and gentlemen.
Him.
I'm afraid I'm jaundiced with the Christmas spirit it may come out like that. But
there might not even be 12 of these either. So we get it's Del's take on stuff at this time of year. So where do you want to start, Del?
The D-I-V-O-R-C-E, let's hope none of us get that for our presents from our partners. Because according to the Metro, sources checked, and 100 solicitors companies and 2,000 people divorced the months after Christmas, they gave their reasons as Christmas period... long haul was the word they used, being the icing on the cake.
Is that right?
For relationships.
Wow.
The pressure, because apart from bereavement and the moving, Christmas comes down there with
so you don't, you, it doesn't
stress.
Go the other way. You'd think it'd go the other way, where people would go, well, you know, it's been a bit of a crap year, but Christmas, it's Christmas now, so we can, you know, crack some nuts and...
That's the same logic that says, go with your work employees and let's all get drunk. What could possibly go wrong?
True.
I mean, it's in an ideal world, yeah.
So your first entry to Christmas joy is divorce.
That's right.
Brilliant.
I
love it.
Divorce.
What else have you got there?
Steer clear of it. Yeah, Christmas is about spending time with your family, and there's no better family to me than the Christmas story itself. And I just realised last week, it's actually the Godfather is the story of Christ. No, it is. 1, 2, and 3. It's the story of Christ. You got the 3 wise guys. You got the 5 families, like the 3 wise men, Mary and Joseph, 5 families. You've got him being betrayed by Fredo, who was Judas.
Yeah.
Chocolate frog, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. 25 pence, apparently,
these days. Yeah.
A quarter of a knicker.
How did that happen?
A quarter of a guinea for a Fredo.
You joking, my man.
Yeah, so the Godfather, I think family... is most important at this time of year. So whether they're good or they're bad, sort of show your family lots
Stick
of love.
With them. That's an interesting analogy, though, that the whole stable thing is, in fact, that's what the Godfather is, just a huge metaphor.
I stumbled on it in a moment of madness on a Tuesday afternoon.
I don't struggle to believe that at all, though.
It came from nowhere. Scorsese, if I ever meet him, I'll ask him.
12 Dells of Christmas. What do we got next, Del?
3 French hens, as it says in the rhyme, of course, but 3 Le Pens. It's a warning to the people of the world to be wary of the rising fascism that is actually crawling across Europe like General Franco's socks after he's worn them for 3 decades. So it's just a wee warning about the future and what comes next year.
But is it going to go that way? Because, I mean, it could do, but it Every time it kind of gets close, and there was the thing in Austria, wasn't there, where they thought, oh, it's going to go fascist, and it went Green Party. So it kind of, after it all was said and done, all of the warnings that, you know, this party's looking as if it's a bit tasty and they're coming up on the rear side and they could be there at the end of the day past the ballot box and they're... Oh, no, they didn't quite do it.
Possibly, but I would look at the what they're keeping out the news, what is happening in Europe, tells me that's how bad things are.
Are you suggesting that there are alternative news stories that we're not being told?
Very many on a daily basis of things that should be gravely concerning to the people of this country.
It's like working with Trevor McDonald when Dale comes in, I have to say. I love it. What else have you got there, Dale?
The actual calendar as well, you know. It's this whole thing about it just gets me that Jesus was actually born in springtime, if at all, and that this whole calendar actually came from a time of year in paganism that was called Saturnania.
Is that right?
Honestly, that's where it comes from. The mistletoe, the trees, everything. It was all a pagan festival. Christmas was actually banned. There's one for all the dads that are sitting there Christmas morning who's had no sleep wrapping presents and they're all being ungrateful. From 1659 to 1681, you could get fined the princely sum of 5 shillings.
If you celebrated Christmas?
In Boston.
Hey!
Yeah.
If you were caught on the celebration?
Yeah, you weren't allowed to celebrate Christmas.
Wow.
And the Congress in America, interestingly enough, had the Constitution 100 years before they even put Christmas in as a national holiday.
I like it. I like it. What's next?
Xmas movies. Watching a lot of films, as I've always said, whether you're with your family or your own, you're just killing them couple of days that you want to get back to work because everyone in the house is annoying you. To me, there's just certain films that always are Christmas. Now, I'm not going to sit here like some old buffter and start going on about Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street. To me, it ain't Christmas unless I've seen Von Ryan's Express.
Oh, right, okay.
As I've said before, so Von Ryan's Express is the ultimate. Von Ryan's Express, Kelly's Heroes, The Dirty Dozen, Where Eagles Dare, Escape to Victory.
So you like a war flick?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Because I think my granddad's influence...
Maybe?
Possibly slightly obsessed with German history in 1939 and 1945, but it is repeating itself, so that's why it's also an indicator on modern times.
What about all the obvious stuff?
Bad Santa. National Lampoon's, I would say, the best tour.
Oh, Bad Santa is terrific. What about, like, The Wizard of Oz, which isn't a Christmas film... And in fact, if you tell people, I was telling a former producer of mine, she's from New Zealand, about when we were talking about films that are on at Christmas, and I said, oh, Wizard of Oz, and she went, what? And she thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever said. I might as well have said Herbie Goes Bananas. And she thought it was curious. She couldn't get her head around the fact that it's something that's... Now, I don't know. There's probably a weird stat that someone's going to say, do you know The Wizard of Oz hasn't been on at Christmas for 27 years or something? But it is, as a kid, you kind
it
of...
It sticks in your mind.
Sticks in your
mind. I remember Live and Let Die. I remember Thunderball. And it was always war films or James Bond, to be honest. At the time when we would eat, it would be usually James
Bond.
But
it's gone now, hasn't it? Because you just download a film.
Of course.
Or you watch a DVD and nobody waits till Christmas to buy the DVD. You just buy it because you're queuing up in Tesco and it's there next to you.
I refuse to go for these dinners anymore. To have every single person sit there with a head and an iPhone with a pair of earphones on. It defeats the purpose of actually being together.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to... promise that if anyone's got an iPhone and doing that this year in my company, I'm going to snatch it off them and throw it out the window.
Fight the power, Dell.
That's the one.
Dell, what's next?
What's next? I've just got done here for the next one. Nigel Farage mug! which I'm sure would be a very good Christmas present for any of the Terry and June on crack mob that like them.
Terry and June, how did that ever get past the...
I don't know. I mean, we know what was going on in the BBC in the 70s, so I ain't going to say what was going on at the BBC in the 70s for that to happen.
Well, maybe. But people had their eye off the ball, didn't they, really?
I mean, there was a lot of bad TV in them days, a lot of bad TV, and even worse of people.
But it's all brilliant now, of course.
Of course.
TV's fantastic.
It's great. Jeremy Kyle and Viola Art, you know? I would like to get Jeremy Kyle in a pub toilet and smash the granny at him for 15 minutes. I think that has got legs as a TV show. Just let random people take him into a car scene. smack him about a bit for 15 minutes. And people could actually do a telethon like Jerry Lewis.
Can you do it for 15?
We've got £1,000 in Barnsley.
Go 15 with Kyle.
Del, what's next?
Blue Valium for Boxing Day. Once you've overindulged with the alcohol or that, we all need our Lemsips and medicines to make us feel top of the morning again for January, especially when we're feeling sluggish and that. So it's just a big shout out. Today, my old football club actually went to Lewisham Hospital and handed out all the children the presents. And it's no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how much garbage we've got, there's always someone who's worse off than us, you know? And at the end of the day, at this point where we still got it by the grace of God, if we get ill, the people who'll be working on Christmas Day for the NHS are the people I would like to dedicate this one to, because without them, each and every one of you is choking on turkey bones, kids having allergic reactions to bad Chinese toys or whatever. Or from any other country that makes bad Chinese toys, I don't know. But you know what I mean, for the people in the NHS and the health service, because there is a danger of us losing it as we know it.
Well, if you go private, what happens at Christmas? Do they wheel your bed round a kind of a fire and stuff?
I'd be wanting lap dancers, the money that they want. I'd be wanting a full shebang to be treated like a Prague stag do for the money. But yeah, private healthcare. I mean, it's strange, like you're saying, like this year we lost, what, Leonard Cohen? Terry Wogan, icons, Alan Rickman, and it just Bowie as well, of course, David. So the best thing about Bowie was I heard that he wrote Life on Mars in New Cross.
Is that right?
He got on the bus from Beckenham and was on the 36 bus driving up Lewisham Way, and he saw people outside of fighting, and he got the line cavemen fighting in the dance hall, come off the bus and went straight back to Beckenham and wrote it.
I love that.
A little bit of Lewisham history there.
Yeah. Well, he went to college in Bromley, didn't he?
Yeah, in Bromley as well. And he married that woman and who had a baby and lived with her for a time. I saw a documentary about it.
He was on Parkinson years ago, and Parkinson said to him, you know, you were born in Brixton, grew up educated in Bromley, you know, you must look back at that and think, you know, you might at one point want to just go back and revisit those places. And he just went, no, absolutely no.
My mum worked in a nursing home where his mum was. His mum was still in what's that place called? Right next to Bromley. Sundry's Park.
Yeah.
She was in there.
Is that right?
That's Dave Bowie's mum was in there, yeah.
Oh. Any other Bowie relative death details?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Christmas spirit, Del.
Yeah, it is a Christmas spirit. Yeah. You know,
got one more for us, Del.
Yeah, according to Celtic and Teutonic legends, the mistletoe is a magical herb that can heal wounds, increase fertility, and bring good luck. I thought I was shamrocks, but there you go, you live and learn. It can ward off evil spirits, and obviously there's the kissing under the mistletoe, which came, it says, from the Victorian times that started. And then the guy wrote a wee sneaky, and this was in Time magazine, he wrote a really sneaky sort of ad lib that says, which is quite surprising considering that they were really stuffy times and abbreviations. And I thought to myself, nah, it's all better when they're on Tinder and Craigslist, mate, having threesomes. Ain't we gone far?
We've moved a long way from the mistletoe. Del.
And one more.
Yeah, go on.
2016 has been a poxy year. The one goddamn MF beautiful thing that has come out of this year has been Gomorrah. Watch Gomorrah. Season 1, Series 2 is about the slaughterhouse of Naples and how human beings can survive under the boot of tyranny.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, by the way.
Ah, there he is, everybody.
Glasgow's finest, Del Strain. Back in 12 months. Cheers, Del. We'll see you then. And we're back in, what, about a month?
I think the actual answer is February the 1st.
I could say Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, and all of that. It's heartfelt. But, of course, if you listen to this after Christmas, then it won't mean very much.
Well, it will. All right. Look forward to next Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Kev.
Happy Christmas, eh?
Enjoy the bells.
Other blended whiskies are available.
A Big Things Media production.
Anyone seen Courtney Love recently?